Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Time now for our Sustainable Singapore segment.
Yeah, we all love our air conditioning, don't we? Especially with global warming pushing temperatures higher.
Yeah, but there's a bit of a catch-22 here. The warmer it gets, the more we use air conditioning, the more we use air conditioning, the warmer our planet gets.
Oh, yes. That's as they consume so much electricity and therefore release pollution. And we certainly don't love how much it costs when our energy bills come in at the end of the month. We've been talking about this.
Yeah, we have. But you know what? There is an alternative. Close Comfort. Now, these guys, they are an Australian and Singapore-based brand, and they produce eco-friendly personal cooling devices that are less consuming and less emitting.
I like the sound of that. Their Cool Focus unit uses just 300 watts of electricity. This equates to around less than 60 cents a night to run, which is at least 75% lower than other traditional portable air conditioners. How are they doing this?
Unlike other portable ACs, Close Comfort units don't need water, no exhaust hoses or window kits to operate. And, you know, I bought one of these cooling units, not the Close Comfort one. And I tell you, it's quite clumsy when you're trying to put everything together with the hose and whatnot. It looks quite easy to use.
Brilliant. I'm just wondering what sort of noise your unit makes as well, because that's the other issue.
Yeah, mine's
issue,
a bit noisy, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, we can get more on this now. We're joined on the line to share more about how Close Comfort provides personal cooling solutions without warming the planet, which is brilliant. Professor James Trevelyan, who is an inventor and also CEO of Close Comfort, is on the line. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Manisha. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great, and we're quite excited to talk about this subject because it's pertinent for all of us. Tell us a little bit about your background first, though, and why you decided to invent this personal air conditioning unit in the first place.
Well, my wife is from Pakistan, and spending time with her family at Mandoon to be able to eat the best of the mangoes, I discovered how hot it really is there. And with intermittent power, lying in bed at 3 a.m. in the morning, in deep silence, sweat running down my brow, room temperature about 40 degrees, I thought, there has to be a better way to keep cool, and it has to work on a battery through the power cuts.
Wow.
So that was the start.
Necessity really is the mother of invention, isn't it?
Yeah. Prof, so why are traditional air conditioning units so uneco-friendly, so expensive to run? This is obviously something that we tend to take for granted.
We do, don't we? Well, the answer is that they're really good for cooling concrete. That's mostly what they do. Most of the money you spend is cooling down the concrete and the structure of your building. And cooling people is just incidental. That's why you spend so much money running them, and that's why they consume so much energy. And I've never yet met concrete that complains when it's a bit warm.
This is a very, very good point.
I'm actually speechless.
So, all right, let's walk through the difference between a personal air cooler and an air conditioner. Tell us how this works.
Okay, so it's quite simple. It's really a little tiny fridge with a fan inside that blows cool air at you. And the idea is to cool people, not buildings. And that way you can save an enormous amount of energy because you really don't need to cool that concrete. It'll remain there standing. In fact, it'll do a lot better if it's warm because the mold won't grow on it.
Prof, I'm curious. I mean, what actually is the difference when it comes to cooling concrete? Is it as simple as I need more power to cool the concrete? And if I run on something that uses less power, it will be just as effective when it comes to cooling the human being. Could you help to differentiate it a little bit more?
Yeah, well, it's quite simple, really. I mean, you've got, in a typical building, you've got 20, 30, 40 tons of concrete for each room. And trying to keep it cool is a real struggle. And that's the current technology. You know, it's been around for a century. And for a while energy was really cheap and we didn't have to worry about the consequences, it was fine. You just put in lots of energy and you cool the whole building structure and the people get cooled as well, incidentally. But we have to be smarter. And so the idea is to say, well, who is it that really needs cooling? And, of course, it's the people, not the concrete.
Okay, but I just...
And you really don't need very much power to cool a person.
Okay, I get that. But I guess what I'm thinking of is you're outside in humid Singapore and you walk into your office building and your office building is lovely and cool. But if you have a situation where you have a portable unit that cools you down, how does that work, practically speaking?
Well, practically speaking, it's like a little box and it sits somewhere nearby. and directs a stream of cool air at you. And the key to this is to understand physiology. The important thing to understand here is that it's the face and the neck of a person that actually feels the temperature. The rest of you doesn't really mind about how warm it is. So as long as you keep the face and the neck of somebody cool, they're fine. Think about it when you're lying in bed. You know, under the covers, it's about 37 degrees and 70% humidity. Imagine working in that condition. You would complain like mad. But you feel comfortable lying in bed because your face and your neck is cool because it's experiencing cool air. And because that's the only part of you that needs to feel cool, we don't need to worry about cooling the whole room.
So a bit of a targeted approach there. Professor, close comfort portable air conditioners, they don't need water, no exhaust hoses, no window kits. I wish I knew about this beforehand because it's not very troublesome. How does the technology work then? I mean, is it the hot air doesn't need to be pumped out anywhere?
Well, of course, you're removing heat, so there has to be warm air somewhere. But it's a bit like the fridge in your kitchen. Once you start using so little energy, then removing the heat is easy. And if you put your hand over the back of the fridge, you'll feel warm air. And that's like just like what you would experience with close comfort. Warm air, it goes to the ceiling and because hot air rises, and the heat gets absorbed by the structure and you don't notice it.
You invented a prototype for close comfort back in 2007 and officially launched here in 2018. Perhaps walk us through some of the challenges that you faced along the way to going from the initial invention and setting it up and then rolling it out here.
Oh, thank you, Manisha. Yeah, inventing it was one thing. Selling it was quite something quite different. You know, we started in Pakistan where people were really desperate for this technology. And we made them in China and filled a lounge room, dining room in Lahore with these little boxes full of these little air conditioners. And I turned to my wife, who were both professors, and I asked her, I said, well, what do we do now? How do we sell this thing? And she said, pray. And, you know, we did. But at that time, we knew nothing about selling anything, let alone selling air conditioners, let alone in Pakistan. So we've learned everything from then, and I think that's been the big learning curve. You know, inventing it was really easy compared with understanding marketing and so on and so forth. So that's been the real challenge.
So what did you do apart from pray?
Well, first of all, we did a market study and found that people were prepared to pay quite a bit more for it than we thought. Then we launched it in Pakistan through a couple of stores and we advertised on Facebook. Then the next thing that happened was that people shared the Facebook posts all over the country and we were inundated with requests and inquiries. Luckily, at the time, there was an online platform, if you like, a predecessor for Amazon and Lazada in Pakistan. And so we started selling on that, and they just literally flew off the shelves. Within a few weeks, we'd sold hundreds. And so that boosted our confidence. And since then, we've been refining the message and gradually working out in other countries. We're a small company, of course, and learning about marketing as you go isn't cheap. So we've been gradually learning how to market this product in different countries. And it's really amazing. People, once they get hold of the idea, they're really wrapped in it. But you've got to get the value proposition right, and it's different in each country. So in Pakistan, it's all about running costs. In Singapore, interestingly, it's not only about running costs, it's also about health. And this technology gives you lots and lots of health benefits. You know, I'm sure you've all heard of the sick building syndrome. And now medical research is starting to show that this is actually a real thing. It's not something that people imagine. And if you think about a split air conditioner, which is the typical unit that people would use at home, you're just living in recirculated air all the time. There's no fresh air. But with this technology, the windows are open, so fresh air circulates all the time. So it's far more healthy than conventional air conditioning.
Well, in that case, Professor, what's the uptake been like here in Singapore since you launched Close Comfort here?
Oh, it's overwhelmed us. We've really been surprised. And particularly this last few months, we've been selling far more than we expected. So we're really, really happy. Singapore people are really taking to it and writing really nice things about it. You know, as an inventor, one of the most satisfying things about this whole project is hearing from customers, people who use it, saying, you've changed my life. This is absolutely fantastic. Why hasn't this been available before?
But did COVID-19 pose any problems like supply or, you know, parts to build these devices?
Well, of course, we've had some challenges. Luckily, we had stock available in Singapore, but we had no idea what was going to happen with the lockdown and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, online commerce has done particularly well through this period, certainly in Singapore, definitely in Australia, even in Pakistan, where, Pakistan really struggles because it's not such a an electronic economy as, say, Singapore and Australia, is very much reliant still on paper. But somehow we managed to keep things going. And so there's been challenges, but we have a wonderful team and they've coped really well. We've got wonderful customers and they're really thrilled.
Of course, there's a big push here in Singapore to embrace a more sustainable lifestyle. So tell us a little bit more about that aspect of this unit. How is it more eco-friendly and sustainable in the long run?
Okay, so air conditioning causes problems for sustainability in two dimensions. The first, of course, as you've pointed out, is electricity consumption. Mm. And electricity, the way we generate electricity, particularly at night, relies on fossil fuels. And so that creates emissions of carbon dioxide, which, of course, end up helping to warm the atmosphere. So they're called indirect emissions because the emissions result from the generation of electricity. But there's also direct emissions from conventional air conditioners. And that's the release of refrigerant. Conventional air conditioners have screwed joints and the refrigerant leaks. As you know, you have to call in a maintenance technician to have your unit recharged every year or so. With our machines, because they're completely self-contained, they're all welded construction, so they don't leak. And we're using a conventional refrigerant right now, but next year we'll be changing to a natural refrigerant, which is propane. A very, very small quantity is required. And that'll have no measurable global warming effect at all. Compared with conventional refrigerants, which have a global warming potential of maybe typically 1,000 times that of carbon dioxide, propane has a global warming potential only 3 times that of carbon dioxide, and there's only a tiny amount required. So it's those direct emissions which are a real factor as well. So the whole idea of this development is to enable the kind of development. If you remember Lee Kuan Yew said that the most critical invention for Singapore was air conditioning because it enabled development in the tropics. And there's several billion people living in the tropics that at the moment don't have access to regular air conditioning because they can't afford the energy. Now, just imagine if the whole of India suddenly started turning on air conditioners, the whole planet would be fried in a few years.
This is so true.
Mm-hmm. We can't afford that. So this is all about solving global warming by creating inventions which bring benefits to everybody, as well as savings. You know, we got used to the idea that we have to pay extra for sustainability. Well, this is one of those wonderful things where you actually are more sustainable and you save money as a user. And as a developer, you can make money out of a commercial enterprise.
Very interesting. Professor James, what about bells and whistles? I mean, you know, things like voice control, you can use it from an app and all that. I mean, these are things that the air conditioning companies are coming up with. What about you guys? Is this part of the future plan?
Well, that's a good question. Why do we need these things? Well, the answer is that, you know, in the good old days, you left your air conditioner running 24 hours a day so that your home was cool when you got back from work, right?
Like your shower, your heater, right?
Yeah, exactly. And in Kuwait, they still do that because electricity is really cheap. But, of course, we can't afford to do that any longer. So you need to turn on your air conditioner. Now, your air conditioner is going to spend the first hour cooling down the concrete. So, of course, you need to have some way of turning it on before you get home to be comfortable. That's where all the sophistication is needed. Mm. Now, with a unit like ours, you switch it on and the cooling is almost instant. Uh-huh. So it's one of those situations where you have a really simple solution that doesn't require all that complexity of having to figure out how you switch it on so that the room is cool when you arrive home. In engineering, the elegant solutions are always the simple solutions.
That's
very true.
This is so true. Just finally, can I ask you, you're an inventor. What's next?
What's next? Well, of course, we'd like, I think there was some suggestion that you could have a wearable version, but I think that that's really a pie in the sky idea. Yes, we need it to be smaller and lighter, and we're working on that. For some cities, I'm sure that all your listeners would remember a few years back when you had the smoke haze in Singapore.
Mm. Yeah.
And there are many cities that, of course, have dreadful pollution. We're working on solutions that will provide cooling as well as air purification. We're working on technologies that will bring far more cost-effective cooling, and particularly as we get out into countries like Philippines, Vietnam, Bangladesh, India, getting the price down is critical.
All right, definitely something to watch out for. We've been speaking with Professor James Trevelyan, who is inventor and CEO of Close Comfort. Professor, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. Take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you very much, Elliot. Thank you, Manisha.
Our Sustainable Singapore segment was written and produced by Rianne Lovell-Bolin.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg
or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.